Welcome to the Dairy Farmers of Canada's research podcast series, Paths to On-Farm Excellence, where we discuss priority topics for Canadian dairy farmers. My name's Stephen Roach. I'm an epidemiologist with a passion for dairy cattle health and welfare. I did my master's and PhD trying to understand how farmers, their staff, and their advisors can work together as a team to improve. And I'm part of a team that's working with the Dairy Farmers of Canada to help showcase the latest in dairy research for Canadian dairy farmers, advisors, and their supply chain. You'll find this channel features a number of different series, from animal care to biosecurity to research summaries and beyond. This podcast series features conversations with farmers, veterinarians, nutritionists, hoof trimmers, and other farm advisors, researchers, and many other industry stakeholders. Our goal is really to provide farmers and their advisors with useful information that can be applied back home on the farm. If you like the content here, don't forget to subscribe to our feed and tell your friends. Now, we have something a bit unique for you over the next several episodes. We're excited to feature a mini-series focusing on the research program of Dr. Herman Barkma during his time as an NSERC Industrial Research Chair in Infectious Diseases. Herman's a professor of epidemiology of infectious diseases at the University of Calgary. His research career has included a huge variety of dairy health and management topics, focusing on the prevention and control of diseases in dairy cattle, like Yoni's disease and mastitis, as well as antimicrobial resistance. Following this episode with Herman, we have six excellent episodes with current and former graduate students and postdocs from Herman's lab. So let's jump in. Well, Herman, thanks very much for taking the time to sit down today. Really excited to sort of crack open what is a rather large box when it comes to the pillars and the overall program that you conduct at the University of Calgary in terms of research, and really excited to listen and learn a little bit more about you.
Thank you very much, Steve. Pleasure to talk to you, like always, and happy to talk more about my passion, dairy research.
So tell us a little bit about where that passion comes from, Herman. I've talked a little bit about some of your accolades and how you've managed to find yourself at the University of Calgary, but there's always a personal story behind that. So tell us a little bit about yourself and why dairy, why Canada, how did you get here?
So I was 3 years old when I told my mom and dad that I wanted to become a veterinarian. And my dad, being the son of a dairy farmer, but also being a minister of church, he convinced one of the farmers in his parochia for me to spend time. At 8 years old, I was driving the tractor. I was mucking the barn and helping with milking and doing all kind of things. And I loved it. So when I went to vet school, my dream was to become a dairy practitioner in the north of the Netherlands in Friesland. That didn't happen because. I went to Costa Rica for a rotation and there did a research project on the largest dairy farm of the country. And I was going there for a couple of months and I stayed 2.5 years. So that's how I learned about running a dairy farm also and managing people and learned Spanish, of course. So... And then I went back to the Netherlands to do a master's and then was asked to do a PhD in mastitis. So I not only had 300 farms in my PhD project, but I did all the problem herds in the north of the Netherlands as well. And then after defending, I became the epidemiologist for the Dutch Animal Health Service. And after 3 years, the Animal Health Service decided that they wanted to centralize in the east of the country, and I preferred not to go there, and I applied for a couple of jobs, and one of them was at the University of Prince Edward Island, at the Atlantic Vet College, and they selected me. After 5 years at the Atlantic Vet College, the school in the new vet school in Calgary was opening, and they asked me to come to Calgary and help set up the school. And There, I became the first department head of production animal health, hired all the people in that area, and also developed curriculum and all those kind of things, and immediately established a very good relationship with Alberta Milk. And we talked about the needs that that they had. So, yeah, it has been very good. And it's the same with Dairy Farmers of Canada. Réjean Bouchard invited me when I was in PEI to come to, I think it was Ottawa or Montreal. And we talked about the research projects. And he was actually instrumental in, having me start research in dairy in Canada. So, I'm Canadian now. Our kids are as well, and this is a great country for our kids to grow up.
Yeah, no, agreed. And we're happy to have you, that's for sure, on both the personal and the professional side of things. And what's clear over that time, Herman, and for anyone that knows you and for those that don't, that have just heard your sort of story here, it's clear that you've had an opportunity to be very productive and have built an impressive research program that spans not just a lot of topics, but touches a lot of different people, from farmers to their advisors, namely veterinarians, but others as well, and continuing up the chain to the industry itself and many other researchers and groups that work in this world of One Health, as you and I were just chatting about, not just dairy health and not just epidemiology. I'm sure the answer to this has evolved and changed over time, but sitting here today, what would you say your overall mission and vision is for the work that you do, the research program that you've built?
So, my passion is people. I'm a people person, and I am very privileged that I can work at a university with bright young people, teaching them, with colleagues, but also outside the university with dairy farmers. And I feel so at home with dairy farmers. I see the world changing, there is less of a link between the people in the city and on the farm. A lot of pressure actually on dairy farmers. We see that nowadays, particularly in the Netherlands as well. But that is coming in Canada. We really need to look at this world also from a One Health perspective. Animals, humans, and the environment are very connected, and we need to be aware of that. So One Health is a major topic there. Not always well understood, particularly not by human health. Human health looks at One Health often as what threats are there from animal health to human health, while I think that's not how we should look at it. So One Health has become quite a passion, and part of One Health is antimicrobial use and antimicrobial resistance, or better together, antimicrobial stewardship. And one of the things that is really important for me is that I want to maintain the right to treat animals with antibiotics when they need it. So that is one of the motivators for me. But to do so, we need to show our good face also in the dairy sector, and that we are aware of the role that antibiotics play in animal health, but also in human health, and that we restrict the use to use it only when necessary. And one important thing that I've learned is that if you have good management, then you need way less antimicrobials. We are now able to do selective dry cow treatment, selective treatment of clinical mastitis, because the pressure of microbes, particularly in the udder, has decreased so much with the decreasing somatic cell count. And that's all because of the improvement of management on dairy farms.
It's exciting to hear so much coming together, it sounds like, in terms of different disciplines, you know, the need and the value of bringing those collective understanding of different problems, different issues, and different determinants of health all together to improve, whether that's on the farm, whether that's in the hospital, or whether that's just in general life. And I totally agree with you how much interconnection there is between all those different facets. The last 5 years, Herman, you've engaged in a number of projects, but one particular area that you've received funding for and worked on is what we call an industry research chair. Can you tell us a little bit about what that looks like and maybe what some of the key pillars of this program is for you?
The topics were established through conversations with the partners. So we have 10 partners in it. So that is the four dairy organizations in Western Canada, so BC, Alberta, Saskatchewan, and Manitoba, Dairy Farmers of Canada, LactaNet, and WestGen, Endowment Fund. And of course, I proposed topics. Someday I had pushbacks, some new ideas that came from farmers on where we should do research on. And the overall theme in it is preparing dairy farmers for things to come and helping them to act on upon that. What we have decided is on infectious diseases and looking how we can decrease the threat of the main infectious diseases on dairy farms, then antimicrobial stewardship and outdoor access. The latter one that came through conversations with dairy farmers, they said, okay, we hear more and more that the cows should go out, and so what do you think about that, and what effect would that have on health? And a lot of us think that it is actually better to keep the cows inside for a health perspective. So we designed a large project where we do observational study, where we look at what is happening in the field, and first determined how many farmers are actually having their cows outside, and then what different age groups. Because it makes quite a difference whether you have the heifers outside, the dry cows, or the lactating cows. Also, if you are not, why not? So we also interviewed a lot of farmers and looked at the barriers and the motivators to have the cows outside. And now we are particularly looking at what is the effect of having cows or young stock outside on diseases, such as lameness, mastitis, ketosis. And so we have 140 dairy farms that we visit now every 2 months in BC and Alberta, also because the circumstances are so different in BC and Alberta. And they take samples of clinical mastitis, they write down when a cow is lame, we have the hoof trimmers involved and get their records. We look at the recording of diseases that they have. We look at culling of cows and reasons for culling, and then look at the different systems that the farmers have. And then we interview also a lot of farmers on the barriers and the motivators for outdoor access. So three main topics: infectious diseases, antimicrobial stewardship, and outdoor access.
Yeah, really interesting. And it, again, speaks to sort of the diversity in terms of interest, and also really nicely addresses, you know, what I assume most of our listeners are going to appreciate are some of the major challenges that our industry is facing in one way or another, or ought to be thinking about, particularly, as you say, for the future. So you talked a little bit about outdoor access and what you've pursued there in terms of questions and sort of how things are developing. You mentioned infectious diseases. Any particular diseases you're focused on? Any particular strategies you're using to try and really understand perhaps burden of infectious disease? You know, what does that look like when you sort of peel back the onion of your infectious disease research program?
So the first thing we always do is see how important it is. And so we determined how many farms are actually infected by Salmonella Dublin, by Neospora, Joni's disease, leucosis, leptospirosis. And also we looked at the three major contagious mastitis bacteria. So we looked at Mycoplasma, Staph aureus, and Streptococcus agalaxiae. So we just did a project in Alberta because we got additional funding also from ARDAR on that and CAP. Quite a percentage of the farms in Alberta now is positive for Mycoplasma. And that is, yeah, it has become a disease that is really important in the dairy industry. And then also quite a proportion of farms are now positive for Salmonella Dublin. And that's the same in every province. It's about, in every province, between 10 and 20% of the farms are positive for Salmonella Dublin. So we are now looking into, and we have this, I don't know whether the listeners always realize that, but we work very well together nationally. And we all know each other in the animal health field and also the animal science field, and we work together. So for us, Salmonella Dublin is new in Alberta. But it is not the case in Quebec, Ontario, and BC, for instance. So we can learn a lot from each other. We particularly found that the herd south in Alberta are positive, less so in the north. But other diseases are more prevalent in other areas. So like Neospora, which is the main cause of abortion in dairy cattle in Canada, is way more prevalent in the north than in the south of this province. And I don't know how that is in other provinces, but we really would like to look at that as well. Because is it because of coyotes, foxes, that are more prevalent there on dairy farms? Or do they just have more dogs in that area? We don't know. So and the nice thing is when you look at, in this case, all about 500 dairy farms in Alberta, that you can compare them. Yeah? And so we now know how prevalent those diseases are. Yeah, leucosis, of course, is still around 90%, like all over Canada. But another thing is leptospirosis. I was just involved a year ago with an outbreak of lepto. That was really debilitating for the farm, and not only for the farmer, for the farm, but also for the farmer, because he got infected as well. And unfortunately, his doctor was not recognizing it at first, and he developed severe problems. And the thing is, Alberta is quite specific. We have no rats, so leptospirosis hard yoke that we find all over the country, this and is the serotype that we find all over the country, is most likely not as important in Alberta. It's more Pomona. So but that meant also that we couldn't use the tests that were that were used all over the country. So we are now looking into validating a blood test for a milk test. And so, and then looking what how important lepto is in Canada, and not only for the cows but also for the farmers. And that's the same with Salmonella Dublin. Salmonella Dublin also affects humans. Yeah, so what effect does it have on the humans on the farmers? That's also an angle that we look at with antimicrobial resistance. The people that are most affected by antimicrobial resistance bugs from animals are farmers. And one major reason to do something about it is to protect the farming community from antimicrobial resistant infection. And then think of the elderly and the young kids particularly.
What I think is so cool about sort of what you just shared there was being able to bring back the comment you made early on about being a people person. There are so many interconnections there between farmer zoonoses, farmer health, and the linkages between their animals and vice versa. Farmer mental health and touching on some of those pieces, particularly some of those situations where we have outbreaks. Salmonella Dublin, where I am today in Ontario, has devastated a few farms quite significantly and has taken a toll. And in some cases has led to, they've overcome that and they've been quite motivated to adopt stricter biosecurity practices. So in the end, it's been a positive situation, but obviously some difficult days and some strong champions for, you know, prevention and control moving forward. And the other thing that you touched on there was learning from one another, the importance of collaboration, whether it is between researchers, whether it's working with farmers, and of course, the veterinarians and nutritionists and advisors more broadly that work with them. There's so many linkages there, which is really, again, a central theme, I think, between not just the work you do, but many of us do, but really a nice linkage with what you'd shared there. Herman, we're going to talk with your students who are knee deep, in some cases neck deep in work under these key pillars and getting really much more into the weeds on some of the specific research questions, the results and the challenges and bumps along the way that they've gone through, which I'm quite excited to do in this series. If you look back just over the last few years, are there anything that comes to mind in terms of, you know, big surprises or, you know, maybe moments you're most proud of in terms of progress you've made, challenges you've overcome, things that may be worth sharing big picture around the research that you've undertaken?
Where I'm most proud of is are my grad students. It is so good to see them develop in those years that they work on the topics. What I typically do is I give them projects to start with, but then they themselves, actually, through working with farmers and veterinarians, they come with their own ideas. And then we find money, other sources of money, to do that research. And they all develop them so well and present them so well that they all get a great job after their time here at University of Calgary. I don't want them to stay at University of Calgary. They then need to go to another kitchen and another university or research institute or whatever and develop themselves. And if they have done that after a couple of years, then they could come back. Like Diego Nobrega has done. He went to Guelph and did great work there, learned a lot in Guelph, and now is a Canada Research Chair here at the University of Calgary. So in AMR, antimicrobial resistance with a One Health approach. So very proud of how the people developed themselves. Of course, I also like to see, highlights of the research that we do. And so one of the things was, wow, the high prevalence of Salmonella Dublin. I really, you know, and Neospora is also, I've had a couple of grad students on that. So what I just mentioned, that the prevalence is high in the north and not in the south, that, yeah, that gives a lot of opportunity to find out why that can potentially be translated in control programs. Another thing that I really liked in that project is that there was only one farm positive for Streptococcus agalaxiae. When I started in the beginning of the 1990s with mastitis research, Strep Ag, like we call it, was the number one cause of infections in the udder of dairy cattle worldwide. You know, particularly the farmers have, through all the measures that they do and their very good milking hygiene and milking technique, have taken care of that bacteria. Staph aureus we still have, but also there the percentage of cows infected went down quite a bit. So in mastitis, I've seen a lot happening. Infectious diseases, for me, the most important thing with Joni's disease is the role of the calf. For us, it's now clear that the calf needs to be front and center in Joni's disease control. And if you don't do that, if you don't monitor the infections in young stock and prevent infections in young stock and prevent infections from the mother to the calf, then you will never be able to get rid of the disease in your herd. But the other side is, now that we focus on it more, you can get rid of the disease in your herd. So there is a lot of potential for that. So those are a couple of the important things that I've seen. There are a lot more, and I'm sure that the graduate students I'm so blessed with these graduate students that they will come with other things.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I mean, having worked with a number of your graduate students and worked alongside yourself and others, it's really quite exciting to see how others have developed. And I can speak to that as well a little bit personally. It's just it is quite remarkable how much we can learn from one another. And you've been a big champion and supporter of that and mentor for many of us as well. Herman, one other thing maybe I'll probe on here in terms of impact and something that, at least from where I sit, I think is quite important and not unique to you, but you have a particularly unique ability to, again, going back to being a people person, have strong international collaborations, or national and international, a wide-reaching network of people of all sort of walks of life that ultimately, I think, influence probably your thinking and do find a way into influencing your research. Anything you'd like to share in terms of some of the influence that that international piece brings to the work that you're now doing here?
So, we need to realize that bugs don't stop at borders. We have seen that with COVID. We've seen what happens if you don't help less developed countries, lower middle income countries with COVID. What happens? All the mutations that are now, the new mutations that are coming, are all happening in countries that we left on their own. The same is happening with antimicrobial resistance. So we need to work together all over the globe for farmers to improve their management so that they get less infections. Because if you prevent infections, they don't have to be treated. So if a country with a growing dairy industry like China, India, or Pakistan is increasing in size in the farms, we need to help them with with their management. And if their management is up to snuff, their somatic cell count will be up to snuff, the number of clinical mastitis cases, but also other infections will be less prevalent in those countries. And that is also self-serving, because the less infections there are in those countries, the less we get in Canada. Yeah, so it's not only doing it for other countries, but it's also doing for ourselves. Yeah, we get animal products in here. We get people from all of those countries. We need to help each other. And the move in the last 10 years that I've seen with a America first mentality, even Canada first mentality, is really worrisome. It is not the solution. We need to work together and help each other. So that is, for me, something that motivates me a lot. I give a lot of talks internationally, often even with video presentations, and try to motivate people to become involved in this work. And in all that, communication is a big one. Yeah, how do you communicate best as a dairy practitioner, dairy veterinarian with the farmers, as a researcher with farmers and veterinarians, as doctors with their patients, name it. Communication is very important. And so another topic that I haven't mentioned yet in my industrial research here is communication between veterinarians and farmers. And it is really important. So we have a project where we practice different ways of communicating between veterinarians and farmers, and looked what the effect is of it. And at the end, we hope that we can do a project and looking at the effect on animal health.
It's a topic I'm personally passionate about and excited to hear that has made its way into your work, so fundamentally. And I agree. I mean, it has a place regardless of topic. We all need to communicate. Just as we say, the importance of collaboration is there. Communication underpins all of this good work. And just to offer maybe another quick example for some of those international perspectives too, is, we can look to other sectors in food animals. We can look to the recent experience North America has been having with avian influenza in birds and poultry. We can look at African swine fever all around the world. And these are major foreign animal diseases to Canada that are having or could have major implications. And I agree with you that perspective needs to change from protecting our borders, so to speak, and thinking about what we can do internally, to realizing that beyond our borders lies some of the solutions to these major problems. So I think that's well said, and just wanted to emphasize that. Herman, as we sort of round out our conversation, I wonder if you can give us a little bit of a look into the future for your research program, or maybe where you'd like to see things evolve, beyond what we perhaps have initially scoped out as major research topics.
So my research program will and has gone more into One Health. And a factor that I have not mentioned is the potential relationship between Yonis and Crohn's disease in people. We see more and more links between animal and human health, between bacteria and diseases in humans. So I will continue to work in that. But I will continue to work to look at what changes may happen in the dairy industry and try to help farmers to come with the right actions to work in that, where they make their own choices. Yeah, but I just want those choices to be based on research, on the results of research that has been done. So if you ask me about the future, I don't like to look ahead for myself too much. And I never want to know what I will be doing in a year, typically. I know in general, of course, I want to still have my family and be in good health and work at the University of Calgary. But there are so many opportunities that come all the time.
Well, I like that in positioning yourself to both be reactive and also establish a bit of a vision or a path for the future for those that want it or may need or benefit from it, depending on the context. Herman, I think it's a fascinating career you've had thus far. I always enjoy chatting with you and listening and learning a little bit about your past as well as where you are in the present. And I look forward to being surprised with you in the future. Thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us. And we'll look forward to chatting with a number of your students over the next series of podcasts, really getting into the weeds on some of these topics you've helped introduce today.
Thank you, Steve. And pleasure working with you.
Thanks for listening to the Dairy Farmers of Canada's Research Podcast Series. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. For more information, please visit dairyfarmersofcanada.ca/en/dairy-research. This podcast was narrated by myself, Stephen Roach, edited and produced by Carly Wright. Thank you to our guests and to you for listening. The project is part of Dairy Research Cluster 3, a national research funding program made possible by Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada's Agri-Science Clusters program, the Dairy Farmers of Canada, Lactinet, and Novalay.